Good morning again to those who I did not meet during the break to say good morning. We thank the Lord for everyone that could make it to be here today. It's wonderful to see young people from near and far coming here having this desire, as we heard in prayer, that we could have been today somewhere else. We could have been distracted doing something else, but it's heaven is rejoicing, as I imagine that God is gathering the angels and telling them, come and see the fruit of the work that my son has done. That this wonderful group of people have come together today, forsook everything behind, and wanted to gather to learn something from the Word. They gather to listen, to grow, to change, as we heard, to be more like the Lord Jesus in our lives. I appreciate this exercise that our brethren here at Wayne has entertained from the Word of God. And as we many times hear, not everything was written about us, but everything was written in this book is written for us, that we might learn from it, that we might take lessons from it, that as the Lord will open our eyes to understand what is in it, then we might grow in the holy faith, grow in our knowledge, and come to know not just about the Lord as we heard in prayer, but to know Him. So, without any further delay, as it was announced that there was a little change, I wish that I could have listened to the speak about Andrew, especially Andrew and Philip. They are, we will see them together in few occasions, but I trust that the Lord will lead us as His will to learn from His Word. So we will read together from the book of John, and as we know that Philip was a disciple of the Lord Jesus, was one of the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus, as we learn from reading the Gospels. And the book of John is the gospel that mentioned few occasions where we will see Philip, and we trust that we can learn few of the lessons from the occasions that the Word of God has mentioned Philip in. I will start from verse 43 from chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and finds Philip and says unto him, follow me. Verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael and says unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says unto him, come and see. So far the word of God, and as we will go through, we can read every portion as we will come into it as the time allow. In my heart to speak about five lessons that we can learn and apply to our own lives from the life of Philip. But before we go to through these five lessons that we will conclude from the Word of God, We would like to set the foundation, to lay down the foundation of this life. And I think this foundation is two parts. The first part, we can call it the personal encounter with the Lord. The personal encounter with the Lord. The second part, we can call it following the Lord. The first part, we read about it in verse 3. The day following, Jesus would go forth. And this is a very important beginning for the life with Christ, for the life for God. There has to be a personal meeting between the person and the Lord. And that's what we read in verse 43. And it is striking the word that the following day Jesus would. Would meaning that he wills. That he went there because he desires so. Because his will led him to do so. And I will tell you that it is the will of God that all men, we read this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, if you would like to take this scripture side, that it is the will of God that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is the will, it is his will to meet with the man, with the lost man. And he went forth. Where did he go forth? He went forth into Galilee. And from the word of God, from the same book of John, we know that Galilee was not a very well honored and respected place by a religious leader. In the last portion of John 7, if you want to go there, you can read a discussion happened between Nicodemus and the chief priests and the Pharisees. And when Nicodemus was bringing up his argument and saying, how can the law judge a man without hearing him? Because he wanted to take the Lord Jesus, the Pharisees. How can the law judge a man without hearing from him and get to know him? And then they told Nicodemus in verse 52 of chapter 7, look and search if there is any prophet arise from Galilee. Of course, they were ignorant in this. That was not a true statement. But that's not our subject. Our subject is that they did not think that a prophet can come out of Galilee. I don't know. I never been there. But it seemed that at that time Galilee was maybe a place where sin has found its place and people are so sinful there. Maybe that's why he Pharisees felt like, is there any a prophet come out of Galilee? So it was not the best place. It is a place where maybe someone was sank deep in his sin and his life and went so far from the ways of God. But Jesus, the following day, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. He went into Galilee. And it reminds me with what's written in Luke 15 about the parable of the lost sheep. That the shepherd would go after the lost sheep, and I love this word coming, until he finds it. And this is the same word that came here in John 1, verse 43. The same word, day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip. I don't know what Philip was doing that day. I think he was a fisherman also, like Peter and Andrew. Maybe he was there by the shore, fixing his net. Maybe he was at home. The Word of God did not tell us where the Lord Jesus found Philip. But you know, he found him. And every believer here, everyone that can acknowledge that he belonged to God here, can be reminded this morning and rejoice in that experience that one day the Lord Jesus have found me. And when he found me, we read about that lost sheep. When he found that lost sheep, he carries it upon his shoulder, lays it upon his shoulder, rejoicing in joy and in happiness. And everyone can experience, I don't know how the conversation, how it went between Philip and the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God did not record to us this encounter. I think because he wanted to make each one of us have his own experience. The Lord finds us. He sometimes finds you in a meeting like this. He sometimes finds you even in your own room at home. He sometimes finds people in the bars. He sometimes finds people in nightclubs. He sometimes finds people went so far in the world, but he looks and finds them. And the first thing that, again, I would like to concentrate on, that there has to be a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. You have to come to meet with him. You have to come and the Spirit of God bring you before him and see in him that he is the one that can fill your eyes and fill your heart. He is the one that can change. This is a life-changing encounter. And I know that we have a gospel meeting before, but the Lord has put in my heart to open the words about Philip, about have you had that personal encounter? There has to be that special meeting between you and the Lord, where before the Holy One, I will feel how sinful I am. I will feel how loaded I am with sin. Where am I going before these holy eyes? And I have nothing to do but to come at his feet, repent, tell him, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And you have a life-changing experience. And the Lord might have found you here today. You did not come here by chance. I did not come here by chance. The Lord has led us to be here this morning. And I trust that the Lord will have that personal encounter. If you didn't have it before, you cannot go with us through what we will talk about Philip afterward. This will not apply. But if you had that personal encounter with the Lord Jesus before, then we can go forth. But the Lord told Philip the second portion of that foundation, which is, once he finds him, he told Philip, follow me. Follow me. He mentioned this word to many people, like Matthew, we will hear about him today, the tax collector. Like Peter, even at the end of his life, the Lord said the same word, follow me. And no one else can say, follow me. You know why? Because the Lord only, he is the one that said, I am the way. I am the way. If you want to follow, you have to follow a way. And he is the one that said, I am the way. Follow. Follow me. And to follow the Lord, you need to hear his voice. He said in John 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So to be able to follow, you have to have the ears that listen to the Lord and be able to follow along in the way. Without hearing his voice, without discerning his voice, you will not be able to follow him in your daily life. Following the Lord needs hearing. You know, when you follow a road, you need your sight. You need to read the signs, where the road is going. There is now a curve to the right, curve to the left. But when you follow the Lord, it's not by sight, because it's by faith. So it has to have that training experience of listening and hearing to His voice. That's why He said that, "My sheep that I have found, they hear My voice and they follow Me." And without hearing the voice of the Lord daily, I will be lost. I don't know my way. How can I follow if I don't hear My voice? Even the Lord Jesus here, in the prophecy about Him in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verse 4, if you want to take this, He say by the prophecy that He wakens morning by morning my ear. Morning by morning He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. If you want to be someone who is learned of the way, knows the way, you need to have that ear. The following verse, "The Lord my God opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I was not rebellious, neither I turned away back." Yeah. To be able to walk today in the road, to be able to follow the Lord, I need to have that ear that's trained to hear His voice. When you come to the meeting like this, it's not that the brother that's speaking, but it is the Lord, what He wants to say to me. Every time we gather into the name of the Lord promised that He is in the midst. And when we come to our meetings in our different local assemblies, when we come to our gathering, it's not just a habit, it is a good habit to be in the meeting, but you know what? Every time I come, the Lord has something to say to me if I am under the sound of His voice. He has something to say to me. Have I heard Him? When a brother calls me in the phone, the Lord can speak to me and I listen to His voice. When I go through difficulty, people say that it is a miserable day. But the follower of the Lord say that this is the voice of my Lord. When we go through different changes in the world and there is a storm and there is a hurricane, people say it, Mother Nature is angry. What Mother Nature? I say that this is the voice of my Lord. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. So to be able to learn and apply the lesson that we will learn from the life of Philip afterward, what's mentioned of him in the Gospels, these are the two foundations. And even we will not have time to go through the lessons, but I wish that this is what I really take dear to my heart today, that I have that dear person that one day has changed my life, that one day has made me turn my back to sins and to the world and to the pride and to self, and I want to be follower and follower only of Him. And to be follower of Him, I have that desire to hear His voice from day to day. The lesson that we can learn from the life of Philip. The first lesson is mentioned here in verse 45. After Philip met Nathanael, and he told Nathanael these words. Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." And the first lesson, if you are a person that your life is changed through the finding of the Lord Jesus, if you are a follower of the Lord, the first lesson I will say, the scripture will be opened before your eyes. The scripture will be opened before your eyes. He tells Nathanael, "We have found him. Moses have written things in the law. The prophets have written things in the law. But now we have found of whom all they have written." the scripture were opened. And dear brothers and sisters, this word of God is a living word. It's a living word. When I come before this word, I'm not coming before a history book or a science book or any kind of other book, but this is written by God. And because it's written by God to man for my needs, no one can open it before me but him himself. This is not just ink on paper. These are not just pages. But these are living words. It can penetrate. It can penetrate my soul. It can discern my heart. It can search my heart. And it can differentiate what's good, what's bad. It can lead me. It can speak. It speaks to my heart. I love a lesson learned from some of my older brethren. Then when they read this precious word, they read it kneeling on their knees, because they know that now they are before God himself. And as they realize how great the situation that they are in, as they read this precious word, they find nothing to do, but their posture has to be kneeling. It has to be in a worshiping position. And the Lord start to speak to them, and they speak to the Lord from his word. You know, you have to find Christ in the word. When we read the chapter, when you read a chapter today, if the Spirit of God will not open your eye and my eye that I can find Christ, there will be no moving in my heart. I might know knowledge. It touched me, the prayer of Brother John this morning, when he said that, Lord, as we will be under the sound of the Word of God today, and as we conclude this conference, we have a desire in our heart that we need to not just know more. It's not a more knowledge. It will not get us anywhere. But we need hearts to be changed. Do you want to be used by the Lord? Do you want to be one of these mighty men that, yes, they are truly mighty men of Christ, that they had this heart which is completely given to the Lord, dedicated to the Lord. They have the word opened before them. You remember the disciples to Emmaus. They were coming in Luke chapter 24. They were coming from Jerusalem into two disciples after the Lord was risen, and they were so puzzled. I know that many of us know this story. You know the story? The two disciples to Emmaus in Luke 24. You can review this. And they were sad, and they were communicating together in a sad way, and the Lord approached to them. And he started also from Moses and from the prophets to expound things related to him in these wonderful books, and to explain to them. And if you want to read with me Luke 24 and verse 32. Very, very nice word. And I would like that the Lord make this reality to us. And they said one to another, didn't our hearts burn? Luke 24, verse 32. Didn't our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scripture. So may the Lord give this to be a reality to us. That as the Lord speaks to our hearts and open the scripture, after I go in my way today to work, after I close my Bible and go to work, I can say that my heart was burning in me as he opened the scripture. And you see the verse following. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. You know, they just came from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And we know that this is, from the beginning of the chapter, we know that this is 60 furlong. And I looked the furlong, I found it that it is 200 meters. So 60 times 200 meters is 12,000 meters, 12 kilometers for the Canadians. And for the Americans, maybe 8 miles. Imagine that they went back from Emmaus to Jerusalem, 8 miles back or 12 kilometers back. They were coming dragging, hanging down hands, sad. But as the Lord opened the scripture, they had that power, they had that energy that has changed them. And now they were able to go back all these 12 kilometers to share this wonderful experience that they have. The first thing, the scripture is open. The second lesson quickly is, we have spoken about that last year. Who was here last year? Do you remember the subject that was in the Young People Conference? Okay. Witnessing. Amen. And we had a whole lecture about being a skillful witness or effective witness. And I think that's what's true with Philip here, that he was an effective witness. Because right away after that encounter with the Lord, he is following the Lord. His scripture was opened who the Lord is. And right away he has to witness to this. He cannot be but a witness. There is no one that has met the Lord that cannot be a witness. You don't need a special gift for this. You don't need a special talent for this. But if you have met the Lord, if the Lord has changed my life, the scripture is open before my eyes right away. He met Nathanael and he told him, we have found. And he finds Nathanael. And I like this expression here in verse 45. Philip finds Nathanael. So in verse 43, Jesus would go forth and find Philip. But in verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael. And I want to tell you it's my portion and your responsibility and my responsibility that the Lord has left for us, that we find Nathanael. He found us. And we have to go forth also and find Nathanael. I don't know who is the next Nathanael that the Lord will lead you to find. But he has Nathanael for you to find. But you have to be exercised. You have to put in your heart to go out there and be a witness for the Lord. I don't know where you will find him. Maybe in your neighbor. Maybe in your family. Maybe in your class. Maybe a co-worker to you. But Nathanael is there and he is in need for your witness. Are you ready to witness for him? And to be effective witness, Nathanael, you might find an obstacle. You might find that, you know, it will not be an easy job to do. He told him, oh, where is he from? Nazareth? Nazareth, is there any something good come out of Nazareth? But wonderful Philip. He did not tell him yes or no, or Nazareth is, or Nazareth is not. He told him, what did he tell him? What did he tell him? Who read the verse? Tell him, I'm not going to argue with you. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. I have seen him. And all what you need, Nathanael, I'm not asking you to do anything. All what I'm asking, I know I'm sure of what I have. I'm sure of what I have. And all what I'm asking you is come and see. Present him as he is. He did not go into any unlearned or foolish questions that can gender strife. This is a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, if you want. Take it as an effective witness. I think we have spoken about that last year. Yeah, that you should not be dragged as an effective witness into any kind of unlearned and foolish discussions and questions. All what you want to do is to present your Savior, is to present the one who found you. Simply, what did the Samaritan woman learn? Many of us say that, oh, to be a soul winner to the Lord, I have to really spend many years in knowing the Lord, attend many meetings. How many meetings did the Samaritan woman attend in John 4? When the Lord has met with her, when she had that encounter with the Lord, she went to all her town and she told them, come and see. Come and see. A man told me all what I have done. Can he be the Christ? And that's all what we need to do as an effective witness. Come and see what he has done in my own life. So how many lessons we learned so far? Number one, the scripture is opened. Number two, effective witness or a skilled witness to the Lord. The third time or the third lesson we can learn from John 6. How much time is left?
10 minutes.
Thank you. The third lesson in John 6. And in John 6, we read the story about the Lord Jesus was in this miracle of feeding the multitude is mentioned in all the Gospels. And I encourage you to go and read it in all the Gospels and see some of the sentence, some of the words mentioned in one Gospel, some not, and we can learn from this study. But here in John 6 is the time when Philip was mentioned. Now the Lord was in Bethsaida, and there were great multitude. We know about, after this, that their number, only the men, was 5,000. And the Lord told Philip in verse 5 of John 6. John 6, when Jesus then lifted up, verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he says unto Philip, when shall we buy bread? Meaning, where we shall buy bread that these may eat. In verse 6, we read these words, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So the third lesson we can learn here from the life of Philip, that your faith, the faith in Christ, has to be proved. Proved meaning has to be tested. Your faith in Christ has to be tested. Yes, the Lord is, when he does something, we cannot get to the limits of his work. Like when you read this miracle, you might tell me, oh, I know this miracle. Many times I read it. Oh, the Lord has fed 5,000 by 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But the Lord here, even as he is about to do this miracle, he has something to let Philip go a step further in knowing him, to grow further. And he took this opportunity and he asked Philip, where we are going to buy food for all these people? And we read in verse 6 that, and this he said, the Lord Jesus, to prove him, to test him. And the lesson that I would like all of us to learn, that if you are a true believer, your faith will come to be tested. There is no believer that his faith will not be tested, will not be proved. Why? Because there will be no promotion without a test. Yes, I know, we all don't like very much study for a test and, you know, go for a test and having the headache of the exam. But I'll tell you, there will be no promotion. There will be no graduation. There will be no advancement without a test. And there is a wonderful verse, I like it, in 1 Peter, if you would like to take a cite for this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Yes, we read about that trial, 1 Peter 1, 7. About the trial of faith. Yes, the faith has to be tried. Being much more precious than of gold, though it perishes, that it might be tried by fire. And when it will be tried by fire, it will be found for praise, honor, and glory in the appearing of the Lord. You know, the Lord asked Philip, Philip, what, where you are going to? And Philip, he failed this test, as this is not the subject. He failed this test. But the lesson that I want to bring to us, that anticipate the test. Expect the test. And what should we do when we have the test? I love the Word of God. In verse 6, see what the Word of God, the Spirit of God is so careful to write it for us so we can learn. That verse 6 is a wonderful verse. I love it. See what it says. And this he said, the Lord, to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. When we come to a trial, when we come to a difficult time, when we come to a challenge in our life, for us it is new. It's a new experience. I don't know what to do in it. But I need to trust that I'm before the one who knows what to do. Verse 6 tells us, he told him that to prove him, for the Lord, he knew what he would do. So all what I need to do, I think if Philip would have been, you know, the one that the Lord had wanted him to be, but the Lord, of course, make him grow through this test, he would have said, Lord, you are there. I can't say anything. I trust you can feed them. And he should have quieted himself, because when he spoke, he said something not very right. It was right by the human language, but that was not the answer that the Lord was expecting. Because the Lord wants to bring him through this test, that he is before the Son of God. That he is before the one who is able to do everything and nothing is impossible to him. He is before the one that he knew what he would do in this situation. And that's what we want to learn. That when you come to a difficult situation, you have to know that you are with this person that he knows what would do. So all what I need to do is trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The Lord said that we will give them food. Amen, Lord. We don't have enough to give them. We cannot afford this, Lord. No. There is no math here when the Lord is there. The Lord is able. Listen, the Lord will bring you in your life to a time which might be challenging. Young ones, older ones, everyone. And clearly the Spirit of God write it for us that he will bring you to this point to prove you, to put you to the test. And you know, today it might be an easy test. Maybe the test today that the Lord will tell you, I want you to leave this thing. I'm speaking to you many times that this is a hindrance in your spiritual life. And the Lord is putting you, I can't, Lord, because if I leave this, this will happen and this will happen and this will happen. I don't have to give the Lord my math. All what I know, if he's telling me to do something, I'll tell him, Amen, Lord. I trust that you will be able to take off the whole details of the matter, and I commit it to your hand. And as you would trust and obey the Lord in the way, you will advance. You will advance, even to come to that greatest of the father of faith, Abraham, in Genesis 22. His faith also. Yes, the father of faith, his faith was tested. And we all know how great was that test that Abraham was tested. But he did trust the Lord that even he will kill Isaac there on the altar and you will be obedient to the Lord. The Lord is able to raise up Isaac again from the dead. The faith has to be tested. The fourth lesson, quickly, we can find it in John chapter 12. So the first lesson is the scriptures are opened. The second lesson is becoming an effective witness. The third lesson is the faith has to be proved and tested for the praise and honor and the glory. The Lord is not interested in making my life difficult. No. He's not interested in making me just challenge it. No. But the Lord is interested in promoting me, bringing me into a larger place, bringing me into praise and honor and glory. This has to go through the test. I don't know what's your test. You might be going it through this time. Would you trust him? Would you tell him today, Lord, now you enlightened my eyes that you know what to do in this. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to have my pen and paper hand in my hand and try to calculate it and see what should be done, what shouldn't be done. Lord, I trust you. I trust your leading. The fourth lesson in John 12. And it's in verse 20. And there were certain Greeks. There was a feast. The Lord Jesus was in the feast. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. See what Philip did. In verse 22, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. The Greek came to Philip, and they asked him, we would to see Jesus. But Philip was not sure of what to do. So what did he do? He went and he told Andrew. And wonderful what Andrew did. The following sentence we read, that Andrew and Philip came to Jesus. And the lesson that we would like to learn here, choose your friend. Choose your friend. Philip was in a situation he did not know exactly what to do. He wasn't sure. Especially he saw himself before in John 6 that I didn't do so well there in the test. So am I being now in another test? I was not sure what to do. So he went and he told Andrew. And wonderful what Andrew did, that he brought Philip and he went to Jesus. If you want a scale to your friend, you can put that scale as, will my friend... after I talk to him for this 5 minutes or 10 minutes or half an hour, will this lead me, this conversation, did this conversation lead me to my Lord? If you didn't feel like that friend led you to the Lord, I want you to put a question mark and stop there. Because I cannot be a companion to anyone. I cannot be a friend to anyone. I heard it before from young people, came and told me, I cannot find a friend. I feel like I'm lonely. I don't have a friend. But I will tell you something. It might be much better than you don't have a friend than you have an ungodly friend. You might still there without a friend. If you still do not have a friend that can lead you to the Lord Jesus. There is a wonderful verse in Psalm 119 verse 63 if you would like to take. Psalm 119 verse 63. I am companion to all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. Who you are companion with? He said, who is your company? Who you walk with? Who is your friend? He said that I'm companion to them that fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, meaning that to reverence Him. Psalm 119, verse 63. These are my friends. These are my company. These are the people that I'm going to walk with. You know, there is another verse in Proverbs 18, 24. If you want to write this. Proverbs 18, 24. That a man with many friends will come to ruin. Yes. Oh, they say, you said that, oh, he has many friends. Oh, he's popular. Oh, I like it. You know, see how everybody's gathering around him. You see how many he has in the Facebook. You see how many, and people compete today about this. But a man with many friends, the word of God teaches us that a man with many friends will come to ruin. There is another verse in Proverbs 18, verse 20. Proverbs 18, verse 20. He who walks with the wise shall become wise. But that will walk with the foolish shall be destroyed. If your company is a foolish one, you will be destroyed. Philip could find and choose and pick his friend. And I'll tell you a practical lesson, and I tell myself also today, by the word of God, pick your friend. Do not just let anyone come across your way that, oh, this is my friend. This is the one that I will talk to. But your true friend should be the one who fears the Lord, should be the one that keep the precepts, meaning that keep the word of God in his heart, should be the one that leads you unto the Lord Jesus. The last lesson quickly from John 14. John 14, and the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in verse 6. John 14, verse 6. And verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip says unto him, Philip comes again. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And I would say it was a godly desire. Even the Lord rebuked him afterward, and he told him, Philip, I have been with thee all this time, and you have not known me. Nevertheless, the Lord have replied to his request. I have responded to his request. You know why? Because his request and his desire was a godly desire. Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And the Lord has replied with a wonderful revelation that he mentioned here in chapter 14, that who hath seen me, he has seen the Father. And he started to speak about these wonderful words about his deity, about his person being the Son of God, about the Trinity, about the person, the divine persons of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in all these verses coming in chapter 14. Who have seen me has seen the Father. The works that I do is from the Father. The Father dwelleth in me. Wonderful truth. There's no time that we go through it, but the Lord has responded to it because it was a godly desire. The fifth lesson that we can learn from Philip, that he had desires which the Lord honored. It was godly desire. And I would like to ask myself and you today, what's your desire? If the Lord would ask you something today, what do you want? What's your desire in your heart? Deeply in your heart, what's your desire? And I pray that we have desires that can go online with the Lord and his will. In James chapter 4, verse 3, he said that sometimes we request, but we receive not, because we ask for amiss to consume in our own lusts, in our own desires, in our own will. But as we will be true followers of the Lord Jesus, the Lord will initiate in our hearts godly desires for his glory and for his name's sake. Amen.